Picture a phone screen, 11,040 at night. There's a message open to the one person who knows you best. Your partner, your oldest friend, the one you'd call first if everything fell apart. You typed 3 words an hour ago. The cursor's still blinking. And you put the phone face down without sending it because you're tired and it's late and you'll do it properly tomorrow. Here's the quiet thing about that moment. It isn't that you don't care. You care more about that person than almost anyone alive. It's that the bond has gone thin. Not broken, just worn down to a thread by 100 busy weeks where you both kept meaning to and didn't. This is the last of our 5 books, and it lands on exactly that thread, the closest one you've got. And it asks the one question a busy person eventually can't outrun when life is loud and time is short. What actually keeps a bond like that strong? The world has a loud answer ready. Book 5 says the world has it backwards. So here's the answer. The world hands you, and it's everywhere. So listen for how familiar it sounds. The world says, the bond is thin because you are not enough yet. Get fitter. Get richer. Get sharper, funnier, more successful, more put together. Become a better you. And the people worth keeping will lean in and stay. It's the whole engine under most of what gets sold to a busy person. Fix yourself, and your relationships will follow. And I want to be fair to it, because it isn't all wrong. There's nothing bad about getting stronger or wiser. But notice the promise hiding inside it, that a better profile buys you a closer bond. That's the part Book 5 takes apart. Because we all know, if we're honest, somebody who has all of it, the looks, the money, the impressive life, and goes home to no one. Polish doesn't hold people, so if it isn't a better you, what is it? Here's Book 5's idea, and it's the whole turn of the finale. So I'll say it plain. What holds a close bond is not a better you. It's the tending you put into it. Think about the difference between a profile and a garden. A profile you polish. You make it look good from the outside. You update it. You wait to be chosen. A garden you tend. You show up. You do small, unglamorous things again and again. And over time, it grows because of what you keep doing. Not how it looks in a photo. Your closest bonds are gardens, every one of them. They don't grow because you got more impressive. They grow because you keep showing up. The ordinary call, the remembered thing, the being there on the plain Tuesday when nothing is wrong. So here's the swap at the heart of this book. Stop polishing the profile and start tending the bond. A worn thread doesn't need a more impressive you holding either end. It needs someone willing to twist a little fiber back into it over and over until it's strong again. Now, why does tending work when polishing doesn't? Book 5 gives a sharp little test for it, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's this: a promise only counts when it costs you something. We swim in cheap promises. We've got to catch up. Let's do this soon, anytime, just say the word. They feel warm and they cost nothing, which is exactly why they hold nothing. A bond can't hang any weight on a promise that was free to make. But the call you make when you're worn out, the drive across town on the night you'd rather collapse, the hard thing you say out loud because they need to hear it, and you're the one who'll tell them the truth, those cost you. And because they cost you, they hold. That's the whole physics of a close bond. Love isn't proven by the nice words. It's proven by what you are willing to spend. Not grand gestures. Most days, it's small. But it has to be real, and real means it costs a little. A thread holds weight only if it's made of something you actually gave. Let me set one real thing beside all this, because it raises the stakes past nice advice. Public health folks who study how we live have landed on something sobering. Being deeply, chronically alone isn't just sad. It's hard on the body, about as hard as some of the big health risks we already take seriously. I'll keep that general on purpose because the exact numbers aren't the point and I won't dress it up. The point is the direction of it. A thin bond isn't only a little lonely. Over years, it costs you in your actual life and health. And sit with how strange that makes the world's advice. We're told to spend our scarce hours polishing the profile, the body, the money, the image, to be healthier, happier, to last. But the tending we keep putting off, the worn thread we keep meaning to mend, turns out to be one of the realest things holding our health up. We've been pouring our effort into the shiny thing and neglecting the load-bearing one. Book 5 just says, it was the thread all along. Now I can hear the pushback, and it's the smart one, so let's take it head on. If a promise only counts when it costs you, aren't we just turning love into a ledger? Tracking who drove across town, who made the hard call, who spent more. Doesn't it has to cost you curdle into keeping score? The fastest way to poison a close bond there is? Good. Hold that, because it's a real danger and I'm not going to wave it away. Here's the difference, and it's everything. Keeping score is giving an order to be paid back. You spend, and then you wait, watching to see if they match it, ready to feel cheated if they don't. That's not tending, that's a transaction wearing tending's coat. The costly promise, Book 5 means, is the opposite. You spend because the bond is worth it to you, full stop, with no invoice attached. You're not measuring what they owe. You're choosing what they're worth. And here's the quiet test for which one you're doing. A scorekeeper resents the cost. A tender gives it gladly. If spending on someone makes you feel richer, not owed, you're not keeping score. You're just loving them on purpose. Let me make this real with one small picture. There's a couple. Call them Dana and Theo. 12 years in, 2 kids, both of them buried. Their thread had gone thin, the ordinary way, not a fight. Just years of ships passing, of how was your days answered over a screen. Then Theo's father got sick, 3 hours away, and for 2 months Theo was barely home. And here's what Dana did. She didn't say one big impressive thing. She did 100 small, costly ones. She drove the kids alone. She took the late shift so he could keep his job. She texted him a photo of something ordinary every single night so he wouldn't feel like the house had moved on without him. None of it was grand. All of it cost her. And somewhere in those 2 awful months, the thread that had gone thin got thick again, thicker than it had been in years, not because either of them became more impressive, but because one of them kept spending, quietly, when it was hard. That's the whole book in one story. And here's the line I want you to carry out of this whole set. A bond isn't held by the best version of you. It's held by the version of you that shows up when showing up costs something. All right, let's bring this home to you because it stops being a nice story the second it's just about Dana and Theo. So 3 honest questions and actually sit with them. First, which bond, the closest one, has quietly gone thin, not broken, just thin? The person you'd still call first, but somehow haven't in a while. You probably saw a face just now. Second, where have you been pouring your scarce effort into the profile, the work, the image, the better you project, while the thread to that person frays unattended? Be honest about the trade you've been making. And third, the one that matters most, what's one small thing, this week, that would actually cost you a little, and that they would feel? Not a grand gesture, not becoming a better you first. Just one real twist of fiber back into the thread. Be still a second. You already know the bond. You probably already know the thing. The whole finale comes down to whether you'll spend a little to do it. So here's your one thing this week. And it's small on purpose, because the whole point is you don't have to become more, you have to spend a little. Pick the one bond that's gone thin, then do 3 quiet things. Number 1, Give it something that costs you a little, the call you keep meaning to make, the hour you'd rather keep, the drive, the showing up on the plane day. Spend on purpose on them. Number 2, say the out loud thing. I'm glad it's you. I've missed this. I'm here. Words cost almost nothing to say and mean almost everything to hear. Say the one you've been leaving unsaid. And number 3, and for the busy, capable people listening, this is the hard one. Let them spend on you. Tell them the true. I've had a rough week. Take the help. A thread is held from both ends, and letting someone tend you is its own gift back to them. Spend a little. Say the thing. Let them in. That's the week. And honestly, it's the whole set. So that's book 5, A, and that's the whole set. 5 books, drawn to a close. Let me braid them together, because they were one thread the entire time. Across all 5, the same quiet idea kept turning up in different clothes. The heavy thing you carry isn't a flaw in you to fix, it's a structure around you to tend. You don't have to give more, you have to give so it comes back around. You don't have to become more, you have to spend a little, on purpose, on the few who'd spend it right back. 5 books, 1 cord. And if you take just one thing from all these minutes, take this. A better network beats a better you, every time. And a network is just bonds, tended, one costly little promise at a time. These 5 books are genuinely worth your time. Each one opens up a thread we only got to touch here, so if any of them caught you, they're there whenever you're ready. No rush, no pressure. But you don't need a single page to start. You already know the bond. You already know the small, costly thing. Go spend a little on someone this week. Thank you for spending these minutes with me. It cost you something, and I don't take that lightly. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you down the road.